Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 329, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Wednesday, March 13th, 2024.
Oh, yeah.
Wednesday the 13th. Watch out, people, for Jason Voorhees.
Yeah, that's cousin. I love that was the
kills
first draft.
People on Wednesday the 13th.
First draft of that script was Wednesday the 13th. It's also, hey, it's National Dermatologist Day, National Jewel Day, like just the concept of a jewel.
Not my girl.
Ooh, sorry, but ACAB does include canine police veteran dogs, but it's National Canine Veterans Day. It's National Coconut Tort Day, National Good Samaritan Day, National Open an Umbrella Indoors Day. Oh, no, not on Wednesday the 13th. I'm not trying to have Jason pull up to my fucking place. National Earmuff Day. Yeah, great. Good times.
Is that like from old school, like National Earmuffs Day? Like they just really liked that joke?
Dude, the photo is like of a boxer. Wait, what was Hooch from Turner and Hooch? What breed of dog was that? You know what I mean? Like that orange
dog? Oh, yeah,
dog?
Yeah. Big Sloppy. Big Sloppy
big,
Boy.
Big that Sloppy was a, Floppy.
I think the technical name is Big Sloppy Boy.
Yeah, Big Sloppy Boy. But the photo is a Big Sloppy Boy with earmuffs on.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I don't know why it's... Nothing makes fucking sense, man.
Nothing makes sense anymore. The one thing that that makes sense is that it's National Coconut Tort Day.
Yeah. That shit looks good.
Yeah.
You like coconut?
Oh, I love coconut, man.
Yeah. It's weird how divisive it is. I think people don't like the texture. People like the flavor, but then when they eat actual, like, the fruit of a coconut, they're like, what the fuck?
It's the cilantro of sweet treats. Like, it's, I think there's just like something inherent, like genetic that divides people on that shit. Or maybe it's nurture. That's a question for the ages or for Zeitgeist. Let us know. Do some people just have bad experiences with coconut? Or what is it? Anyways, my name is Jack O'Brien, aka the South by Mouth Guy. But I don't know. That was in my head this morning for some reason.
Was that one of those ideas
it was
you
because
had?
I was sucking so many dicks last night at South by. That's why. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
It's Miles Gray, aka Come On Make Your Takes, hot durner. I said, Come On Make Your Takes, hot durner. Come On Make Your Takes, hot Miles of Gray. Ooh. All right, shout out Panoramic View with that one.
Damn.
Little patch Benatar.
Panoramic View is back. baby.
Yo, like that. Hannah Soltis, fucking, I don't like the. And, I don't know what happened. You were in the lab.
Where the fuck you were?
Yeah,
and it's probably living a life.
Yeah, you got a life has nothing. Yeah, I'm like, well, how come you were submitting 8 free AKAs to a daily podcast every day?
But I feel like Panoramic View, aka Hannah Soltis.
Soltis.
Soltis?
Yeah. I like Solstice. Hannah. That feels
Solstice?
More vibey.
Yeah. Anyway, I feel like they always come with the ones that just, I don't know, there's like some perfection to them. They feel like they could have been the original lyrics to the song.
Yeah, yeah. It's the syllable. It's punchy. The syllabic. It's the
and there's
syllabic
always a punchiness
consistency.
To it.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Anyways, congratulations. Thank you. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
Miles, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a real dried up piece of shit. As you said to him when he joined the Zoom this morning for some reason. Brilliant comedian, writer, actor who's brought you comedy albums such as the Blake album,
yeah.
Stuffed Boy Live from the Pandemic, yeah. 12 Years of Voicemails from Todd Glass to Blake Wexler, and his new special, Daddy Long Legs. Very funny. You can go watch it right now on YouTube. You must go watch it right now. Please welcome the hilarious, the chaotic, the riding a recumbent bike in short shorts. Blake Wexler!
Hey, this is Blake Wexler, a.k.a. we're going to get to know you a little bit better, but first we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're going to be talking about today. Guys, thank you for having me.
Hey, man, that's fucked up.
Yeah, dude, that's my a.k.a. That's how people refer to
you. Just threw Jack.
Nobody refers to you as that, man.
Constantly.
Are you mocking me right now?
Mm-hmm. No.
No, you're the mouth guy. You're the South by Mouth guy.
You always are.
You always are. Yeah, I am the South by Mouth guy.
What were you thinking? You are. You just came. Were you like tossing and turning in your bed this morning and that's in your head?
Weird time change.
Yeah.
You know, there was an alarm at my house. Like somebody opened our garage in the middle of the night, freaked my wife out. So we're going on a little bit of sleep, and that's what bubbled to the surface of my brain.
And then you're talking about how you're filleting the whole town of Austin.
Filleting the whole town of Austin, man.
The tip of your tongue and the back of your throat.
hey.
Did you ever go garaging? When you were younger, was that a term that you were aware of? When
I'm not,
kids
no.
would go to, I guess like parents or I guess people now our age, grown-ups, would keep beer in their garage and you would break into a garage.
I do know about this from Sea Isle City. In,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, that was
the
easiest
Philly
way.
The Philly suburb of Sea Isle City. Yeah.
Yes. Wait, so that it was like a thing where it's like, yo, they have a garage fridge with beer. Let's fucking bust in there and take the fucking beer.
It's interesting. I think you're even taking it a step further of research where there was no surveillance. It was assumed.
There's
a garage.
The
yeah. Yes, there must be beer kept in it because garage is generally cooler. I think like before you refrigerate it, people would just keep beer in their garage. But I guess they don't have a garage. But if I did, I probably wouldn't keep. I would keep it in my basement.
Keep it in my gun safe.
In my gun, we went gun safing as well.
Yeah,
we would rob people of their firearms.
Yeah.
Oh, to be white, have a bad time, like just whimsically breaking a garage for beer.
Yeah, it's not technically part of a domicile.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Hitting
when I was a 17-year-old in Kentucky who just wanted nothing more than to drink at all times.
Yes,
I can't believe it didn't occur to me. Like I'm actually disappointed in myself. That we didn't do that. We just like went to the liquor stores and played Hey Buddy, which is so humiliating.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man. Hey, come on, man. Hey, I'll suck your dick, man. Come on.
They call me the South by Mouth guy.
They call me.
What? Get the fuck away from me.
You know my nickname,
bro? All right, whatever. Wait, man. Like, Jack, if you had a time machine and you can right one wrong or change one decision in your life, going garaging.
Go back in time and tell my teenage self, there's this thing called garaging you're going to learn about in a few years because your cousins in Seattle City do it.
Yeah.
Or actually more likely your aunt and uncle like tell us that it's out of control in Seattle City. The youths are out of control. Yeah,
fully out of control.
Anyway, shout out to Seattle City, man. What a town.
Mm-hmm. Say it.
All right.
Say
it. Blake.
Yes.
You already said the thing that I say right now. So you, man.
Say it again. All right. No, you have a job to do. No one wants to work anymore. Pull up yourself.
We're
going to
get to know
yourself
a little better
up.
For a moment. Yeah. First, tell listeners the thing to talk about. We're talking about Boeing because a whistleblower died in a very suspicious way and people are intrigued. This is fucked up. People got the phrase Epstein'd trending on Twitter, which I get that this is a very suspicious suicide in quotes, but do we really have to compare this poor man to Jeffrey Epstein in death? Like that could, like what a horrible, horrible fate. Yeah. So we'll talk about that. We're going to look at Trump's Hitler fandom, which is real. Like the comparisons are obviously, you know, not like everywhere. Like you just can't shake them. But like he is openly, has been openly a fan of Hitler. I guess not openly, but like not really trying to lie very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we always knew some things and, you know, Well,
So
we'll hopefully, hopefully people will, you know, maybe people will come around now after hearing this.
I think so. We'll talk about the Pentagon's report on UFOs and we'll ask the question on everybody's mind. Did millennials kill chewing gum too?
We did.
Yeah, probably. I think so. Yeah. Not my ass, man. I got, let me see how many packs of Trident.
How many packs
I have.
Do you pack?
Three. Three packs
Whoa,
of Trident.
Whoa, fucking three pack Shakur over here? Okay.
Three pack Shakur. All right. But before we get to any of it, Blake, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are, you sick freak?
Well, this disgusting pervert speaking right now, JP Morgan's nose. And because it was always like a reference of something bulbous and like, oh, this guy's got a real like JP Morgan nose right now. But like, I didn't understand what the hell was actually going on with that guy's nose. And it turns out there's two issues. One, his nose was purple, which is, you know, generally something that you would recognize right away about a person. Which is also interesting. Yeah, it's bad.
Sorry,
so,
I just saw it.
He had rosacea, which then I believe turned into something called rhinophyma, and which is caused, like, I guess the deformity isn't a nice term, but like caused it to be warped. Not that that's
better, much better.
Yeah, warped. Yeah, so it's fucked. And I do have rhinophyma. I do have a rule of thumb where I never want a disease in which the prefix is that of a beast from the Serengeti. It's generally something to avoid. But yeah, that's what was happening with his nose. And it's interesting, too, because most of those photos were in black and white from back then. And yet,
but you can like see the gin blossoms.
You yes. Yes.
Because what? Is perfectly. Is that just from alcohol abuse?
I think rosacea, no. But I always figured it was from alcohol abuse.
No, I'm just meant in his case.
Yeah. I always assumed that any nose that looked like this had some complications from alcohol abuse. But
it was actually cocaine. It was all the cocaine he did.
Cocaine and
his bankers do now.
Yeah, and facilitating the finances of the slave trade manifested in that awesome look.
Yeah, it's just evil like bursting through his face. I do feel like sometimes just like all the soul turmoil just like fucking
manifests
erupting
in
out of his nose and
Man, JP, wait, how did you what even spurred that on? It's because you just heard tell of people talking about JP Morgan's nose and like let me just check this out for myself.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you take for granted in life, you know, that you just have these references to pull whenever your little heart desires. But why the reference? How did the reference come about? Why did his nose look so messed up? So that's why, apparently.
Huh.
Yeah. I'm a thinker. I'm more of a thinker and
I'm like
not
into
a philosopher.
History and shit.
It's history mostly. Yeah. Like learning.
There's a today I learned here. Today I learned that JP Morgan was sensitive about his nose. It was inflamed and purple due to rhinophyma. He hated being photographed and always made sure photographers touched up his nose. So the shit that we have right now of his nose is the result of a propaganda campaign to make his nose look better.
He put his best nose forward in those photos. Yes.
It's, wow. That shit must have been gnarly in person.
Grotesque.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. You hate to see it for such a good guy, too.
I agree. Yeah. Just didn't deserve it.
That's right. What's something you think is underrated?
Underrated upside down pizza, which is sauce on top, cheese on bottom.
Oh, the Manco and Manco style?
Yeah, but even more so. Like Manco and Manco, I feel like, is strips of sauce. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Where this is a blanket, more like a quilt of sauce. Where I'm, when it comes to pizza, I know this is controversial. I don't want to start a whole goddamn thing with you two. You may fucking blow the shit out of everything I say, but I do like sauce. Sauce is my favorite part of a pizza. So I like, let's give me that first, and then we can go from there with the cheese and whatever else or what have you. But I've been seeing it more and more. It's been popping up in Philly. It was like a thing for a while, and now I've seen it around New York and other places. So upside down pizza.
I do think the sauce is the most important part of the pizza. It's thing that is that determines the variability, I feel like, right?
Yeah, it's why Papa John's fucking sucks.
Yeah, it's why Papa John's fucking sucks.
Yeah,
it's why, I mean, they obviously, there are three ingredients. Two of them can really go in a lot of different directions. I mean, crust is maybe more important than sauce. Now that I agreed with you out loud, my body rejected it and was happening. Blake's got to be gone. But Blake's got to be wrong and gone. I'm gonna kick you out.
I wish you would try. I wish you would try. I'm gonna team up with that room service person you didn't tip.
Hey, meet me in Long Island City, bro.
Are you kidding me?
You didn't tip them.
That's not true.
For what 3% isn't tipping, Jack?
You gave him one of
and
those.
It's so annoying to have
chips.
To figure out the 3% every time.
I know,
because it's such a weird percentage.
Yeah, you didn't have to ask the person either. Hey, what's 3% of this?
Hey guys, does anybody know what?
What a cool man.
The cheese bonding with the crust is also like kind of, I think, a thing that I like about that. You're not having the shit slide off.
Huge. Although,
that's a big deal.
Screw up a slice. Yeah.
Yeah. But I kind of like it Manco and Manco style, where it's like all kind of mixed in together a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you're a moderate. You're in the middle.
I'm a moderate. That's why. I am. Yeah. And I respect Joe Biden's America.
I know you do.
And that's why. Yeah.
Another thing we agree on.
I respect JP Morgan's America.
What's something you think is overrated?
Overrated Dr. Bronner soap.
Ooh.
It's the, first of all, if you've ever read that thing, he's a maniac. Like the guy's crazy.
Yeah, he's a crazy person.
Absolutely nuts. And another thing, it's a very expensive soap too. Like for a jug like that, it's like $14-16. And what's 3%? No, $16. And it also, I don't like how it cools you. Where if you put on Dr. Bronner's as a body wash, it gives you like a cooling sensation, which will then make me turn up the heat in the shower. And then I get out of the shower and I start sweating, which completely defeats the whole purpose of the entire experience. So Dr. Bronner's
soap starts sloughing off your body.
It does. I prefer to put the soap
underneath
down my skin.
Yeah. I believe that would indicate that Dr. Bronner's is mentholated, a term that I learned from Miles when I complained about this very thing.
Oh, yeah.
When the cooling sensation of, it's like a cheap hit. I feel like it's like a trick that I got my Head and Shoulders shampoo from TJ Maxx one time. Inadvertently bought some mentholated Head and Shoulders shampoo. And Head and Shoulders likes to brag about their tingle. And this thing like more of a subtle burn that, you know, when you're talking shampoo, it goes all over your body, which not what I'm looking for. When I get out of the shower. But
oh, you don't upside down it? You don't do a headstand in the shower?
Headstand,
just let it.
Yeah. A one-handed headstand while I shampoo, while I lather with the
You
other.
Just drag an inversion table into your shower and you just get in there and you're like, honey, turn the water on. Flip me back. Flip me. Oh, fuck, I'm waterboarding. I'm waterboarding myself. Soap got in my nose.
The Dr. Bronner's label is... It the thing that it evokes the most, and it's weird because it's become influential. I feel like a lot of labels now, the word count is way too high. On
skyrocketed.
The Love Corn label. Love Corn is now in this hotel room that I'm staying in. Do you guys know? Hello, just so you know, we're delicious, crunchy corn. Love, comma, corn. And then there's like a whole fucking essay written by the product that you're eating. In the thing, and like, we believe it's like a combination of like cutesy, like memeing shit, and then like those We Believe signs from people's yards.
right. Yeah.
At Love Corn, we believe that Twitter is X, and yeah.
You do that funny prank, or you say it's funny, I think it's disrespectful, where you go through all the things at the mini bar and then you eat them all and then fill them up with pennies. Is that was that you, where yeah. you fill up the Love Corn with all the pennies?
He's like, so yeah, you think, there you go, asshole.
Yeah, yeah. Take that. Enjoy. Take that.
I don't know. I saw it. And then when I go down to the front desk to check out, I'm like, I saw the cleaning lady eating all the products, you yeah. know, blame it on yeah. her. So mm-hmm. I get away with it. I'm a monster. Crumbs. Yeah.
Whoa, dude, the Bronner family is kind of wild. This guy's story is fucking wild.
Yeah.
The dude escaped Germany in 1928. He's a Jewish immigrant. His family
you happy now, Blake?
Was killed in the Holocaust.
Let him finish. Let's see what else he did.
His family was killed in the Holocaust, and then he escaped Christ, a mental Blake. Institution in 1945 to start his business.
So
good. I'm glad I called him crazy. That's good, too. That's going to age really well. Glad I called
hey,
him
you
crazy.
You didn't know.
A term does, I shouldn't use anyway.
The label does remind me of some signs you will see from, you know, like the conspiracy theory signs that you'll see in
oh, yeah, yeah.
places.
Or people like, have like bumper stickers that are this yeah. text dense. And you're like, I'm yes. sorry, what did you say about mRNA? Yeah. Never mind.
We're seeing this rise up as a labeling strategy. Mm-hmm. They're mm-hmm. just like, just flood them with word count, and they'll be so dizzy they have to buy your product.
I feel like we're walking into Alex Schmidt territory right now of getting into the labels of various products.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's a market he's cornered. So I'm going to stop you right there.
Yeah.
I actually recently
I created
saw...
Alex Schmidt. Is that what you're going to say?
Hmm? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I take credit for yeah, like, yeah, just his existence. His From Jeopardy wins, trade. All me. Yeah. No, I was going to say that I recently opened my refrigerator, and like we have the baking soda, you know, in there. And on mm-hmm. the label of the baking soda, they offer you a chance to like join the community of like baking soda fans, like fans oh, yeah. of their baking soda. And there's like a website and a phone number. I kind of want to chase that thread like all the way, just like meet the other people in the community, just like kind of get a sense of like what they're all about.
Yeah.
But yeah, people who
just
are just like devoted to baking soda, Arm & Hammer, or is that who makes that?
Yeah. That's, oh man, dude, this guy, there. I didn't realize all that text is like his spiritual philosophy on the Dr. Bronner's label.
Oh, yeah.
And then
it goes deep, man.
There's like a whole documentary about his spiritual teachings on how we got to stick together on Spaceship Earth. All right, yeah. man. Yeah. All right.
There's also a section about how 9/11 was an inside job.
Michael, so his other son Michael began working in 2000. Michael Bronner assumed presidency after the company in 2015 and promoted his brother David Bronner to the position of CEO, which stands for Cosmic Engagement Officer.
Yes.
Finally.
Hell yeah, dude. Finally. I don't know if this is a Behind the Bastards episode or an Alex Schmidt episode, but
it's a Daily Zeitgeist episode.
I think that's the rest of this episode is what it
yeah.
is.
Oh, no, dude. And that now they're like, they're all about supporting therapeutic use of MDMA for PTSD. Okay, they're vibey. They're vibey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got to know more. Vibey. I want to know more.
Blake, this was your overrated? This is something you hate.
Yeah, well, I guess now it's just something I don't understand.
Yeah, now
that's
we're
a category.
Yeah, amazing, man. Well, you're on the wrong side of history. Good to have you here on the show, and
yeah,
we're
going
to take a quick
me.
Break. We'll be right back.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone. Transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system. Or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, how to bustling retail business and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And man, I can't wait to see how Blake fucking sides with Boeing on this next story. You know,
we already know.
Oh, God.
How'd you get to South by Southwest, mouth man? Huh? What type of plane did you take? Was it a Lockheed?
I hitchhiked all the way down, if you know what I mean.
It was a Boeing, but only two wheels fell off.
Yes. All right. So Boeing whistleblower has died in a very suspicious way. So he was a former employee turned whistleblower. John Barnett died of, quote, self-inflicted gunshot wound. The suspiciousness of his death led to the phrase, as mentioned, Epstein'd, trending on Twitter, just all the worst fates that you can suffer in this world.
Right.
Not fair. Please, let's not do that to him. Just say it's suspicious without comparing him to famous international pedophile Jeffrey Epstein.
Navalny would have been still inappropriate, yeah, but more, right? At least not negative. At least not a pedophile island person.
Yeah,
you know.
No, but as we found out later, a vile Islamophobe.
Oh, is that true? Oh, yeah, oh shit! Yeah. God damn it! I'm 0-2 today, aren't I?
No, it happens. You know, you're like, oh, all right, because American media be like, hey, he doesn't like our enemy. Let's look past the other stuff, huh?
Yeah, no, 100%. It's also, I was laughing too at your reactions to Jack talking about Jack's whistleblowing of his own. And yeah. I think we were talking before where we might need to have Jack have a snack if he starts confusing words. But we did not talk about why Jack might need a snack if he just starts talking about people.
The legend of the South by Mouth guy.
Yeah, just right. That might be the flag.
Yeah, nah, man.
That's waving.
Hey, I'm happy with this. And when I finally eat later on, I am in no way going to plummet back to reality and be like, oh my God, Justin, what happened?
Cut all that out. What the why'd you let me say that? Good God. You should have told me to eat something.
But, you know, I'll sleep in the bed I made.
Mm-hmm.
So He worked for Boeing for 32 years as a quality manager of a plant, which quality management, as we've discovered, is something that Boeing has had some problems with.
Yeah, yeah.
And in 2019, he told the media that Boeing had been, quote, deliberately fitting substandard parts to aircraft on the production line. This included faulty oxygen systems so that one out of four breathing masks would not work in an emergency.
Good God.
Those were just like ornamental. The breathing masks.
Yeah. Just like, give that one to the kid.
Yeah,
before you put your own on.
That's like one of that's pretty important. That's not one of those things that you can just like get by. Like the buttons that are actually not doing anything, like the crosswalk buttons or like the door close buttons on elevators. You know how those like are just there to make you feel like you're doing something.
An illusion. Yeah.
You can't do that with oxygen masks, I don't think.
No, you kind of need the oxygen.
Those are pretty important.
Yeah.
They would occasionally use parts from scrap bins. They would build planes using shit from the garbage. Which
allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yes. That's as our writer Jam points out, that's how George Costanza would build an airplane.
Yeah. Like,
just pulling shit from the trash.
It is suspicious because he's like, this is in the midst of him in the middle of a lawsuit against Boeing.
Yeah.
For, quote, denigrating his character and hampering his career.
Yeah.
And he wasn't done testifying. That's why I think that's what makes it so murky. And then his own lawyer said he died from an alleged self-inflicted gunshot wound.
So he's in Charleston for this case against Boeing. Conducting legal interviews, staying at a hotel, and he was found in his car in the hotel garage. Yeah. So he literally died while in the process of giving testimony.
Yeah.
It's suspicious.
Yeah, murky stuff. And I mean, when you see that, I don't know. I mean, like, you look at what a corporation like that stands to lose with everyone, like, you know, coming down on them for their terrible business practices. It's, God. 2024, what a time. This is like, and it's like days after we were talking, like, that fucking wheel just fell off a Boeing plane in San Francisco on takeoff, and you're like,
there is also a news report where like the pilot allegedly like lost control of a Boeing plane, and like after the flight he was like, yeah, the everything in front of me just like shut down, and like the plane plummeted so fast that like people were bloodied. They were like, they hit the roof of the plane.
Yeah.
And
50 people or something like that.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. It's cool though. We got to hurry up this recording so Miles and I can go catch our flight.
This is a good free flight thing. As a palate cleanser, I don't know if this is a palate cleanser or not, but when I visit my parents in Charleston, that Boeing factory is right next to the airport. So you drive by it and see, I think he worked on some of the Dreamliners, you know, like those massive planes that Boeing's building. So you see them building those. But at TSA, Charleston's a very small airport. They have almost like an elementary school bulletin board that says, "Nice catch," on it, where it shows all the shit that the TSA people catch that you're not allowed to bring through. And it's just like six handguns, a huge knife, like just all a sword. Like it's all this weird sword. Shit.
Right.
Yeah. It's almost like a museum.
Nice catch. I love that. Gold star for Terry this week. Yeah. Nice catch.
Yeah.
This person.
Good hands.
Yeah. 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 This is the hands team.
Exactly.
For the onside kick.
Well, thank you for adding that just to show us another way we could die on the flight today.
No, they catch it.
They catch it. Nice catch, T.O.
Nice catch. Why are so many people like can't remember not to bring a gun on an airplane? That is always amazing to me. It's just
I carry it so often. It's almost like a part of me. It's like not bringing a wrist.
It's like a pack of gum for some people. Yeah.
Oh, I should leave my wrists at home?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Literally don't even know how to do that. So I'm getting on this plane with a blammer.
All right. So Trump's Hitler fandom has not been a secret for basically, I don't know, since the 90s. But it's like one of those things that's just a part of what we know about him. But it's like, you know, because our brain works the way it does. It's just like, we're like, okay, yeah, he's into Hitler. And like, it just bears revisiting every once in a while, especially as he becomes more and more openly Hitlerish, like mm-hmm, dictatorial mm-hmm. in his yeah. policies and everything he's saying. It's not surprising given what we know about his actual affinity for actual Hitler. So John Kelly, a hero, made headlines yes. by revealing him, my hero. In this household, we believe John Kelly is a hero.
He's a hero. Misunderstood.
Recently made headlines by revealing in a new interview that his old boss, Donald Trump, routinely praised dictators. What? No, that's probably not the thing that was surprising people. But he did shed a little more light on how much Trump loves Hitler, repeatedly defended Hitler, who he would say did some good things, like how he rebuilt the economy, also expressed admiration for Hitler's hold on senior Nazi officials. Like that was something I remember from his presidency, that he would just always be like, I wish I had it like Hitler. His people were super...
They listened.
...loyal. Everybody listened to Hitler, didn't they? And Kelly was like, well, his generals repeatedly tried to assassinate him. And he's like, didn't know that. But anyways.
Let's watch this Tom Cruise movie about him being a Nazi. That's probably going to be something good here.
Oh, he's trying to kill Hitler.
I just want to switch. Excerpt this bit of the Salon article. He said, well, but Hitler did some good things. I said, well, what? And he said, well, Hitler rebuilt the economy. But what did he do with that rebuilt economy? He turned it against his own people and against the world. And I said, sir, you can never say anything good about the guy. Nothing, Kelly recalled, according to Schudo. I mean, Mussolini was a good guy Mussolini was a great guy in comparison. Like, just the dumbest conversation.
Yikes. A really bad conversation.
Right. Hey,
if you want a big one of them.
So, like, here's a bad guy. And, like, he's, like, just having to, like, do a chart of, like, the worst.
The hierarchy.
Hitler really bad. So, please, and, like, stop saying good stuff.
Benny Musso in a close second, if you want. But, you know, pick one.
But, there's just been a lot of talk about Hitler's fandom lately after he started paraphrasing old Hitler quotes about how immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country. His defense in that case was that he couldn't be quoting Hitler because he never read Mein Kampf, the world's only source of learning about Hitler. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also, clearly the weirdly specific lie of a person who has read Mein Kampf. Like,
right.
I wouldn't know. I've never read this one
I've
book.
I've never read Mein Kampf or My Struggle by Adolf Hitler.
I know nothing about Hitler. Struggle. I'm not a student of Hitler. I never read his works. That's a direct quote.
His works. Oh, so there are works?
I mean, his art. I mean, his art. I mean, not his art. His
an artist,
rambling.
You know. Then immediately called that statement into question by pointing out, by the way, he didn't say it the way I said it either, by the way.
Right.
Holy shit. I said it better.
Yeah. I like how that even like his ex-wife was like, yeah, dude, he's got a book of his collected speeches by his bedside table.
Yes.
And like when someone asked him in an interview about that, he's like, who told you that?
Yeah, straight up.
He said, who told you that? Oh, who no, told you that? Bro, you've been caught. You've been caught.
That sounds super innocent. And then he clarified, my friend Marty Davis from Paramount, who gave me a copy of Mein Kampf, and he's a Jew. Oof. So the reporter went to Marty Davis, which I'm sure Marty Davis was thrilled by that quote.
Yeah, he's like, what?
What the fuck, man? Davis later stated that A, it was not Mein Kampf. It was a book of collected speeches. And B, he's not actually Jewish. Which is like just...
Marty Davis. Yeah,
that's pretty spot on Trump style lying. He's like, what do I need to say to completely neutralize this? And then when they say it's this or that, I'll just say it's fake news. It's fake news.
He brought the book up again and somehow sounded even guiltier with this quote. If I had these speeches, and I'm not saying that I do, I would never read them.
Wow. I mean, he's trying. He's trying and he's failing so bad. This thing, you also find out that Trump's family is really German and not Swedish, as he said in The Art of the Deal. And Fred Trump hid his, quote, German background because most of his tenants in Brooklyn were Jewish. And when Trump's cousin would visit his office, he would click his heels and say, Heil Hitler.
Ooh, all right, there it is.
Which, in this article, they're like, but it's like possibly, possibly a family joke.
Okay.
What a family joke.
That's a weird family joke. That's a bad family, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Family joke is like being like, hey, go tie your uncle's shoelaces together. You have a real goof at this one. Not clicking your heels and saying Heil Hitler. But hey,
like, and when that family runs the country, that's when this starts to be
it's more truly important. Just like so wild. Again, it's like the thing that we've talked about with regards to like the whole rise of authoritarianism and Trumpism in America is like was mind-blowing for a number of years and was front page news, and now it just seems like it has everybody's used to all of this shit. But like this is like cartoonish evil, like just on the surface. Like it goes back generations. The stuff about his dad. So there are unconfirmed rumors for years that Fred Trump was not just a white supremacist, but a Hitlerite. And the stuff that is confirmed is wild. Like that he was arrested in 1927 at a KKK riot.
But it wasn't like a Nazi thing. He was just KKK.
That's
what he'd say. That's his KKK, though.
It
wasn't a Nazi thing. It wasn't a Nazi thing. He's
in the 1930s. He was part of a larger New York City-based German-American community, many of whom were members of the Bund, a fifth-column pro-Nazi group that marched around in uniforms adorned with swastikas. And a journalist at the time commented, "Old man Trump must have instilled in his family business heir, Donald, a strong belief in the causes of the Nazis and the Bund." Ooh. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
It is scary that it has become so much more normalized, where with Trump in particular, so much of his shit we're just used to because he's such a cartoon where you wave it away, but then it's not being, the problem is that it's being waved away, you know, like we need to actually attribute these horrific things to an actual real person who could become president again.
Yeah.
And there has also been a rise in, like, in particular, Hitler quoting, like, quoting Hitler in sports, too, in the past few years, where, like, DeSean Jackson, who is a famous wide receiver, had quoted Hitler. Kyrie Irving, who's, you know, like, an all-NBA player, if you don't know, had not just quoted Hitler, but didn't even correctly quote Hitler, just said something anti-Semitic and said it. Hitler said it. Hitler didn't even say it.
Yeah, so Hitler's even like, hey, Kyrie, relax.
Yeah. Like the more these things happen, the like more we get jaded to it. But to your point, like, we can't get jaded to this shit.
Yeah.
It's still bad.
But we are. It's like there's kind of an inevitability about it that was also
Argue with me.
I'm not saying, like we need to find a way about the, we need to find a way around like that it is a natural thing, but because this is, again, what happened. Like, historians say this is exactly what happened in Nazi Germany. Like, when Hitler first came to power, when Hitler like came on the scene, not to power, but like, you know, the beer hall pushed and like all the stuff that, like, you know, him going to jail for like trying to take over the country, it was front page news. Everyone's like, man, this guy, what the fuck? And, you know, everyone was fascinated by it and scared of it. And then he just like hung around for 10 years and kept doing wild shit, and then, like, you know, changed a couple things about his publicity approach, and eventually it just was no longer front page news. It was just like, oh yeah, the anti-Semite who's trying to take over, and then he took over. So yeah, it's not good. It's not good.
Yeah, pretty. Yep. I mean, if you needed any more, more to be like, yeah, him bad. I mean, like, most of us were like, you know, if you like look up to your dad, and sometimes it's just like, hey, man, we like the Lakers, man. Magic Johnson is cool. Kareem is too cool. And I'm like, yeah, the Lakers. Yeah. So I'm a Laker fan. But if your dad's like, hey, man, the Third Reich, bro, that's what daddy thinks is the coolest. Right, Donnie? And you're like, yeah, dad. And now look at you. Slippery fucking slope. And and I mean, he's like, and he's not even good about hiding it. It's like so weird too, where he like says it out loud. He's like, oh no, nobody else. Nobody has a dad who's a Hitler fan. Okay,
it's a family
first
joke.
First of all, I never read Hitler. Second of all, you're quoting him incorrectly. Okay. What? Like, not even trying to fucking hide it. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
And we're back. And so we wanted to check back in on the UFO story because we have an update from the Pentagon.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Pentagon, one of the reasons that has become more of a story, like a mainstream story in recent years, is because the Pentagon's been more, a little bit more transparent, not like fully transparent, obviously, but like transparent for the Pentagon, which isn't saying much, but still they like declassified some videos that were confusing. And now they're coming out and saying that the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office has released their findings and nothing to see here. No evidence of extraterrestrial technology. Most sightings were misidentified ordinary objects and phenomenon.
Yeah, great. That's it. So just shut the fuck up now, right? Mm-hmm. They're just misidentified ordinary objects and phenomena. Which is like, well, then we want to fucking describe that then? A little bit, like, yeah, I don't know, it's phenomena.
No, we just don't. Like stuff, things happening.
Like, they even address like other theories that are out there. They're like, the AARO recognized that many people sincerely hold versions of these beliefs. The goal of this report is not to prove or disprove any particular belief set, but rather to use a rigorous analytic and scientific approach. They said they found no empirical evidence for claims that the USG and private companies, the U.S. government, have been reverse engineering extraterrestrial technology. And they have determined, based on all information provided to date, that the claims involving specific people, known locations, technological tests, and documents allegedly involved in or related to the reverse engineering of extraterrestrial technology are inaccurate. But also, the same agency also announced that they are working to develop a sensor kit to gather better data on things that are flying around to hopefully get some kind of, I don't know, better understanding of these phenomena. And now, like, many of the phenomena. And a lot of the UFO people are now saying that, like, okay, well, since the Pentagon has now come out and said that this stuff, these are not UAVs, and, you know, there are no secret labs, then, like, maybe whistleblowers should be able to testify in public.
No, that's not what we meant.
Shut the fuck up.
We didn't mean that.
The other, like, real, the theory that I see in, like, the UFO community that they're really, like, or not, I mean, a theory that I see people just sort of talking about more and more is sort of like, since they're talking about the release of these Gremlin sensor kits, is what they're calling it, to gather more data. They're saying like they're going to use this to control the entire narrative now about how we understand UAPs, because they fucked up by keeping it a secret years ago. So now they're going to use these sensors to be like, actually, that's wild. We'd have found things. So maybe we do need to have a discussion about this. But we only found this out now because of these sensors that we developed, not because of things.
So like allows them to track us more, or what's their...
No, like it's more to... Okay, again, this is the tinfoil theory. Yeah, it's giving the U.S. government and the Pentagon, they now have control over the narrative, rather than right now it's like, shut the fuck up, man. I know we have that shit, but just fucking act like it doesn't fucking exist. Where now they can have this report and be like, yeah, all that is fake and it's all okay. Like, it's, they're not really UAPs, but we actually have now, with these new sensors we've just developed, we have gathered evidence that maybe something is different.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. It makes sense to me either way, but. I feel
I haven't read the full report, but I feel like to truly make this convincing, they need to have like an editorial sense of like the stuff that is actually compelling evidence, or like compellingly mysterious, and then explain what we're seeing in those like videos or in those eyewitness testimonies. Like, it's just weird that all these people inside the Pentagon would choose to press self-destruct on their careers at the same time. Like, inside the military, where it is overtly like just career suicide to be like, yeah, I just saw a UFO. Like, people like those Air Force pilots who saw the Tic Tac like circling their plane, like with their naked eye, like came back and everybody was making fun of them for like weeks. Like, it's not a cool thing. So it's just like, it's just confusing to me why that, like, is the crackpot UFO theorist industry that much more profitable than like military bureaucrat with like, you know, a pension and like health insurance? Like, it feels weird.
Well, they're unionizing. Yeah, weirdos are unionizing, so it's actually more lucrative than it used to be.
Yeah, it feels like there's better incentives to stay quiet and shut the fuck up. So like, these people are having to take a risk to come out, and like, I, for a while it was a lot of people with like weird facial hair who were like, you know, just had, you know, backgrounds that weren't necessarily making them the most reliable source on like military intelligence. But then there's just this flood of whistleblowers. And like, I feel like there needs to be some sort of better accounting for what these people are saying. Like, maybe it's not coming from the Pentagon, but like, then I need the long read version, like in the New Yorker or, you know, some journalistic outlet that's going to like put in the resources to be like, all right, like, so here's why these people are saying the lies that they're saying. Like, it's, the incentives make sense in this way. They're getting like YouTube money, you know, like, I just don't understand it. And like, maybe some skeptics out there can help me understand it a little bit better, but it can't just be like, no, these people are fucking stupid. They're lying. And like, because it's so many different people with like no clear incentive to lie.
Yeah. I mean, the only one would just be the attention. And like, that's it. That's the only one that like, that is like on its surface makes sense. And it's like, well, maybe they don't value those other things. They purely like to be someone who is the center of attention and can like completely captivate a room by doing make 'em ups about whatever they saw. But again, like, when you see the kinds of people, they're like the most buttoned up, like these like career military people and pilots, you're like, I don't know, man, like, maybe. But again, I think the thing is, like, when you say phenomena, like, use the resources that you have scientifically to actually help people understand that, if that is the case, rather than being like, dude, they're like, they're just like drones and spy planes and like phenomena.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
All right, should we talk about whether millennials killed the chewing gum industry? Because
yeah
we need to address this.
I'm CO. I'm mad. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm cusp millennial, and I'm pissed at you guys.
Well, look, the onset of COVID maybe had more to do with it, with people masking and not interacting face to face as much. Chewing gum basically started to bottom out. The sales started to bottom out in 2020. Like they were down like by nearly a third. And why wouldn't it? Because ensuring that your mouth was fresh and minty was probably the least of your worries in 2020. Mm-hmm.
But even since then, I can see Blake wanting to make a bottom out joke about what I'm doing down here at South By, and that's not fair.
No, I think you're doing great.
Okay.
I think this is actually a high for you.
My bottom is not out. It's purely a mouth thing. Proceed. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for clearing that. So keep that in. and so like, and even since 2020, sales have barely began to recover. And that's mostly because they're just charging people more for gum. So like gum sales rose less than 1% to 1.2 billion units last year, which is still 32% lower than like pre-pandemic levels. But the sales in dollars are back to pre-pandemic levels. And again, that's just because they're charging people like a dollar more than they had. So they're just making up for it with the money, which you're like, oh, right. This is how this shit works.
No, inflation's our fault. Inflation is actually our fault for getting paid more for. Yeah, it's because they Uber drivers tried to unionize.
Exactly. They went woke and now our gum costs $3 a pack. Yeah. And but like it got so bad that a lot of candy manufacturers have sold off their gum businesses, and some have resorted to killing off beloved gum brands that have been with us for like 50 years, like Super Bubble Gum. We know that one. And also famed currency, Fruit Stripe Gum. If you remember Home Alone 2, anyone? That was what he would give as a tip, was Fruit Stripe Gum. But millennials maybe also kind of did kill gum because Gen X, apparently, they tend to chew more gum than any other age group. Millennials.
I chew so much fucking gum. Maybe this is me being like more Gen X than millennial.
I mean, I have a pack of gum like in my backpack. Like that's kind of like part of like my travel thing, because I was always like raised to be like, you got to chew gum for the altitude or whatever. Like, but
for your ear. Yeah.
I'm
more of a mint bitch.
You're a what?
Because like this might shock you, but I grind and clench my jaw at night and I don't chew gum anymore because it tires out my already fatigued jaw from, and I would imagine a lot of other people right now are stressed to the point, not you two, of course, but you know, like us normal, hardworking Americans are stressed to the point that we clench at night. So we have to suck instead of chew. Mm-hmm. So,
But there's not just generational differences, though. Like, people are just kind of like more carb and I guess sugar conscious. They also aren't into aspartame and artificial sweeteners. Mm-hmm. So that's also creating a decline. So what is the industry to do? They're now trying to shore up sales by referring to gum as a stress reliever and also targeting gamers with gums that have like vitamin B and like green tea in it to, quote, help them focus.
Mm-hmm. Energy gum.
And also trying to make people think of gum as less of like a shit breath defense mechanism and more of like a wellness thing. Mm-hmm. So, I'm good luck with being like, yeah, man, this gum is like your road to fucking nirvana.
They need to double down on getting dentists to recommend chewing gum. That was the thing for me. Like I just associate Trident because of like one commercial in the early 90s that I saw like when I was a kid. That was like 9 out of 10 dentists say if you can't brush, chew Trident. I'm like, yeah, this is basically brushing my teeth and it's also candy. So that's great. They should double down on that lie, not the wellness lie.
Right. Yeah.
Gatorade had a gum. I don't know if you remember this, where it was called Quench Gum. And I would love to know the science behind how when you chewed it, your mouth just got filled with saliva. And
it was crazy.
Well, and it's discontinued. They haven't made it in a long time. But I do remember that being, even back then, they were trying to find an angle
beyond. They made Quench Gum still.
Oh, for real?
Oh, yeah.
Not Gatorade. It's not a Gatorade one, though, right?
No, but like the OG Quench Gum. I remember like if you went to like Sports Chalet or whatever, it would always be like, Big Five. It was just like in a big tub by the register, like as an impulse buy. I'm like, Mom, I need this for basketball practice. She's like, no, you do not.
More like Drench Gum. Your mouth
bursting with
that is what I chew gum for, is to get like saliva going, you know?
Yeah,
that's one of the good things about it.
I would swallow the gum immediately.
Yeah,
because I was like, oh man, it's so juicy. And then I'm like, I just want to eat this. And then mm-hmm. I just swallowed it. And I'm like, what am I doing? And I just ate a half a pack of gum. And my mom's like, what? It's okay. Well,
I do that with chapstick.
Yeah,
I forgot to mention, I also have icebreaker cubes, a fourth thing of gum on my desk. This is really icebreaker ice cubes, Arctic grape, really sure. delicious gum for, I'd say, 20 to 22 chews, and then the flavor's gone.
Yeah, yeah.
The Trident is the best at holding its flavor that I've found. Fruit stripe gum, you know, I don't want to talk ill of the dead, but like three chews. Like you got three chews, and then that shit tasted like fucking you were chewing on a piece of plastic. And also Gatorade was like, not like that shit went bad pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in my opinion.
Just chew that wellness gum, folks, you know, and so like, be on the road to
we're going to get some Gwyneth Paltrow gum at some point.
Well, like, it's like they're trying to do stuff. It's like, oh, it's got natural ingredients. Like it's this kind of fucking rather than like the traditional ingredients that are made to make chewing gum. This is like natural. This comes from the earth. So this is like the most natural kind of chewing gum you could eat or chew or whatever. Look, man, just give us some shit we can just chew and make our salivary glands go bonkers.
Mm. I mean, the millennials are going to need to start chewing gum once everybody has to quit vaping at some point, like when they're getting older, you know? So just wait. You'll be into gum.
Wait, what are we vaping? Like nicotine?
Yeah, isn't everybody vaping their nicotine?
I don't know. Yeah. Man. I mean, younger kids are. Like, I definitely see, like, younger kids hitting those flavored vapes. I don't know. People around me, they're just normal, regular, everyday pieces of shit that smoke cigarettes.
Oh, really?
I know a few ciggy smokers still, yeah.
I have seen, like, it does feel like cigarette smoking is coming back. But again, like, gum chewing is a good alternative to that.
Right, and that is, like, one of the few test cases where the gum industry is like, yeah, for people like who are getting into nicotine cessation, like that is something that helps.
Yeah.
But there's not enough of a market. So they're just going to go after gamers and the woo woo crew.
Yeah. I'm going to go have a nice little chew break, you know, just go down to the smoking section, have a nice chew.
It's like, it's good because
we're the same.
This stick of gum, it actually only lasts for about the same duration it takes to smoke a cigarette, right, and then it becomes a flavorless fucking wad.
Still bring a lighter so you can have that interpersonal, you know, dynamic of like, here,
you put the stick of gum between your fingers like a cig and then like spark it.
All right. It's just this limp piece of gum. You're just waving it around. It's disgusting. What a
flappy stick of Wrigley.
It's in my hair.
It's a social thing. That us gum chewers like to do. Just sit down and have a nice chew together. Mm-hmm. Well, Blake Wexler, it's been a pleasure as always.
Yes.
Always a bit unhinged when you're on. So, and I don't blame you, actually. It's you bring it out in me, and I appreciate that.
You were way worse than I was today. I don't even think it was, I know, close.
Yeah, no, it was a fucking mess.
It's because he didn't eat his root. He didn't eat his food.
I haven't eaten yet.
I've got hungry.
Got a salad sitting right here waiting for me.
Just wilted now.
Some nice hummies. Mm-hmm. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
People can find me, can find my stand-up special. Like you said, it's called Daddy Long Legs, and that's streaming on YouTube. And then stand-up dates this Friday, March 15th, is I'm doing a monthly show at Strong Rope Brewery in the Gowanus neighborhood of Brooklyn. And that's this Friday, March 15th. The lineup's insane, and it's only $10. So come to that April 18th to the 21st. I'm at Go Bananas Comedy Club in Cincinnati. May 10th through 11th, Blue Ridge Comedy Club in Bristol, Tennessee. And then, there's more dates. BlakeWexler.com/live-dates.
It's like live dad.
Live dates. Yeah. Daddy dates. DaddyDates.net. I don't know what that website is.
DaddyDates.net is...
I'd skip it.
Ain't what it's cracked up to be up to.
From your words to... Jack's mouth.
it's not a place to meet hot dads. They just sell dates, like the
first dates.
Yeah.
And is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
Yeah. So there is a tweet where it said, "Shout out to this Flyers fan and only this Flyers fan." And that tweet happened because it was a picture of a jersey where there's been this big scandal of what's it called, like Canadian players who there's a big like horrible sex scandal, and one of them was this Flyers goalie named Carter Hart. And what they did, so this is from Kaharski Donuts, and it's a picture of a Flyers fan who changed the last name on the jersey from Hart to Fart in protest of the player, which I think takes something with a lot of heaviness, a very grave, serious issue, and then condemn the act with an instance of immaturity, I think is a great way to do it. So, you know, you can't buy a new $260 jersey, so why not protest by changing the name Hart to Fart, baby?
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Well done. Thank you for that. Miles, where can people find you? What is work media you've been enjoying?
Find me at Miles of Gray, where they got the ad symbols. Find Jack and I on the basketball podcast, Miles and Jack on Mad Boosties. You could also find me on 420 Day Fiance, talking 90 Day Fiance. Some tweets I like. This dude, at Paul Lomax, someone, like, people have been going fucking wild over this Kate Middleton Photoshop thing. And this, he tweeted, holy shit. First it was at Ruby Naldret. I apparently said, I think this is from the Vogue cover that she did years ago, and they edited that face on from the Vogue cover. Then Paul Lomax said, holy shit, I just did it myself, and it's a pixel perfect fit. Genuinely, it's 100% that this is the Vogue cover photoshopped in. And
what?
Like, wow. Yeah. It's pretty wild. Like, they're sort of like laying over the Vogue cover, except she's wearing a hat in it, and they took the hat out, and whatever. Always more fucking questions than answers. Mm-hmm. And then at It's League tweeted, what's a crab rangoon to a crab rangoblin? Love that.
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
Nothing.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. A tweet I enjoyed, Chase Mitchell at Chase Mitt, retweeted a Variety headline, Jeremy Strong needed to, quote, achieve exit velocity from Succession so he could, quote, attempt to do more. Says, quote, it's a myth that I'm this humorless person. And Chase Mitchell said, that is the most Kendall-ass way possible to put that. You're going to achieve velocity from Succession? You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy.
Enjoy?
Miles, what song do you think people might enjoy?
Yeah, this is a artist who is like Belgian and Cape Verdean, but raised in Denmark, and is making like kind of throwback 90s, like late 90s R&B. Her name is Erica DeCassier, DeCassier, and the track is called Tested. Yeah, and it just has like this very, you know, for the millennials out here, for the people that kill chewing gum, this will resonate. And like, yeah, her like vocal style is kind of like Pink Panther's, like it's more whispery, you know, not like a powerhouse vocalist, but you kind of like that on these sort of more vibey R&B tracks. So this is Tested by Erica DeCassier.
All right, well, we will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. That is going to do it for us this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to y'all then.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.